welcome to Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. It is the Big Friday show. We are coming at you live.
You ain't live.
We are live.
You ain't live.
We are live from the Hollywood Park Casino, from the Rays Lounge. And guess what? Fred is out today, so we're going to cut it up with my man, our Chargers insider, Beto Durant, is here with me.
What's up, Rodney?
What's up, Beto?
I'm so happy that I was the eighth person that answered your call to show up today.
11.
Oh, 11?
Yeah, 11.
Damn.
Come on, man.
Really cutting me up.
You ain't in the top 10. Come on, brother. You know better than that.
I miss you too, right?
Hey, I'm honest, baby. I'm honest.
You know, if I listened, I would have heard that.
Come on down. Have some food, some drinks, and enjoy the show. We're at the Rays Lounge in the Hollywood Park Casino. It's going to be a good show today. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to let our hair down. Meta World Peace is going to join us today. We're going to get into all things Meta World Peace, from the book he's got coming out, No Malice, to the actual Malice in the Palace, to his times with the Lakers, to his time with Kobe. We're going to get into all that. NBA playoffs are at a high level. And then, you know, also the Dodgers. They won two straight, Beto.
You're all fired up.
Yeah, they won two straight, Beto.
Look at you.
What do you mean?
Last time I worked with you.
The league-leading Diamondbacks. They beat them twice.
Last time I worked with you, you were like melancholy in a bitter mood, and you're a happy guy. Like right now, you're bouncing off the floor. You can't even sit still right now. You're like trying to adjust yourself.
Hey.
You're ordering lattes, and you're all you're having a good old time, man.
We righted the ship, Beto.
I didn't know you were such a big baseball guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I knew you played, but I didn't know you were like ride or die with the Dodgers.
I played, and I've always been a Dodger fan, but recently, over the last, I would say, 8 to 10 years, I've been increasingly a bigger Dodger fan, and then over the last 5 years, I've been even more of that, because when the Guggenheim guys came in and Magic Johnson was a part of it, who's a close friend of mine. Not to name drop,
damn.
I can pick that up off the floor.
Damn. Close friend of mine, sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, it became a real vested interest in it, and then they hired my son a couple years ago
to
work in a clubhouse. So that made it even more personal. So I ride or die with the Dodgers, man.
A lot of people were, during that McCourt era, were so disenfranchised with them where they didn't want anything to do with them.
Right.
Guggenheim came in, and you saw them putting the investment into the fans. You see the stadium is changing, like the infrastructure of it, how the aisles are wider. Like it doesn't take as long to get food or drink or whatever, but also the winning product.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah. They did it all.
They did, but that's why people, when the McCourt had them and the team were losing, they're like, whatever, get them
out. It was a money grab for him.
But
it was a money grab.
It's, you know, it's April and everybody's like, oh no. You're happy because they won two, Rodney. Like, it's just too, like, I'm not
is
gonna
that
be
bad.
No, it's good because that shows you how much you care about them. And there's so many people now that are, every single game, it's like they're riding or dying right now. And you just said it. We beat the first place Arizona. Like, all right, cool. But you know, if you were like a player, you'd be like, man, it's just a game in May right now. You know that. But as a fan, I love hearing that from you, Rodney Pete.
Yeah.
Rogelio. Mi amigo.
It's bigger than that, man, because it's not playing. You're not playing, which they are. By the way, the Dodgers are in, how do you say it? Monterrey. Say it for me.
Okay. Monterrey.
Monterrey.
There you go.
Okay.
Monterrey, Mexico. That's where the Dodgers are.
They are there tonight at 6. It's a 6:10 start. Dodgers on Deck starts at 5 p.m. with Tim Cates. The Dodgers are now. That's why I'm excited, Beto, because now, you know, they were 9 games back. Now they're 7 games back. And when you're playing the team that's in first place, it does have more meaning.
Yeah.
It's not like they're playing the last place Padres, right? And they beat them 2 straight. They beat the Diamondbacks. So you gain ground on that first place. And the one thing you can't allow to happen, and I know it's a long season, and everybody talks about that. There's, you know, over 125 games left. You can't fall too far behind, because once you do, you're playing catch up the whole season and it's hard to get back.
You can't fall behind too much. And then also, when you're playing a team like Arizona, who has been looking
owned you
at, but Arizona has always been looking up at you because the Dodgers win the division, and Arizona's that team. You know that Arizona, okay, you're from Arizona, you know that You used to be from Arizona. You're an LA guy. But people from Arizona have that complex of like, oh, LA thinks they're too good. LA this, LA that. And they're like that inferiority complex where LA people are like, we ain't worried about you right now. Like, we're going to take care of our own. Arizona, you know, they get more fired up for the game, the players do. And you know the crowd, it's a bigger attendance when the Dodgers show up in Arizona because they know that Dodger fans are showing up there. How many LA transplants are now living in Arizona?
A lot.
And then you remember a few years ago, they had that rule where if you're going to sit behind home plate, you have to wear Arizona gear.
Correct.
You
can't remember that. Yeah.
I mean, that why? They didn't do it because they're worried about like Cardinal fans or Giants. No, they're worried about Dodger fans. So if you, but beating the Diamondbacks, it also lets them remind them, like, hey, look, you might think you're good, but we're still the defending champs of the West. You still got to go through us. Yeah, we're not in the race with you right now, but we're coming for you.
Well, it's just like last year. You know, they for the last couple of seasons, even bleeding into this season, the regular season, the Diamondbacks have owned the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They really have.
Yeah.
But last year, they swept the Diamondbacks in the playoffs in advance.
You talk to players in the Dodgers side, and you're in the clubhouse, and you're like, are you really worried about it? Like, no, because if you put us in a series, we know we're going to stack up with them. And we're also, when you're in the playoffs, you're loading up your lineup. You have your rotation set up. It's like when you play at NSC, right? Your first three games, you were getting everybody's best punch from Western Michigan and like, you know, Sisters of the Poor.
No, you're right.
But then you're like, all right, we'll let you hang out.
Yeah.
But you're still going
to
knock it out.
Yeah. Well, we need to turn it on. We turn it on.
Exactly.
Yeah, we turn it on and turn it on. That's the Dodgers. Like, they look at it and go, wait, first of all, you're not our rival. San Francisco's our rival. You know, our rival's the Giants, not the Diamondbacks. You guys, you know, go play the Rockies or somebody else like that, you know, and deal with that. But it's still good, though. It's still good to see them
winning's always good.
Winning, they got guys hurt, and, you know, obviously Ryu went out again. Now they're saying he's not going to be back until after the All-Star break. So,
All-Star break now?
Yes.
After the All-Star break.
Yeah. Yeah, he tore it off the bone. He tore the groin off the bone.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever pulled your groin back,
though. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's a hard deal. Yeah. Just pulling it is a bad deal, but pulling it off the bone.
He's done.
He's done until after the All-Star break. But that brings up Walker Buehler, though.
Yeah,
Walker Buehler, he's going tonight. And great young prospect. They kept wondering why they kept him down and didn't let him just come up and be up. But now he gets to be up full-time, and we'll see what he does. And, again, Dodgers playing tonight at 6:10. It's a great trip. Down there in Monterrey,
Mexico. That's pretty cool. I was reading some of the Spanish newspapers, not the name drop that I can read in Espanol. by reading means I was looking at the pictures. But no, there was a big area out there. They look, the Dodgers are a worldwide brand.
Yeah,
you know, especially in the Latin American countries. So you'll see people wearing Dodger gear everywhere. So the papers out there were making big stories leading up to this week. There was a 3-page one about Clayton Kershaw pitching in Mexico when he was 18 with Team USA, and he played, and they're like, well, Kershaw's not playing this weekend, but he's going to be in our stadium, and they've done it a lot of different things. The town is really, Monterrey is a big city. It's really industrial, and I know they were saying, Vasse can't do the postgame show because it's dangerous. I mean, everywhere is dangerous if you're looking for it. You know, don't start none, won't be none, right? But it's also a city where they
watch too much Man on Fire.
Exactly. and he was looking for it. Denzel was like, it's just business, right? It's just business. But, you know, Monterrey in that area, they've invested so much money to bring Major League Baseball. So it's going to be a great plan they have out there. Actually, the Padres have a couple of young Mexican players that are going to be out there playing for them. So it's going to be a good vibe overall. It's going to be cool to see. And they've invested a lot in that stadium just to make it up to standards for major leagues for this weekend. So it's going to be cool.
No, it's very cool. And I remember, and I just saw something recently, that the first Little League World Series team to win outside of the United States was from Monterrey.
Yeah.
There was a movie about those kids, and it was pretty incredible. So the whole story of Monterrey. Is pretty cool. It's the BJ's Restaurant and Brew House lunch hour. Please, we got Meta World Peace joining us today. And our question today, because Meta's got a lot of stories, man.
Yeah, man.
Meta's got a lot of history. Not only just playing in the NBA, but on and off the court. We want you to ask Meta a question. 866-987-2570.
You want to do this?
We do. We want to open it up for your questions to Meta World Peace, and the best questions will win a gift certificate to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. So that is the BJ's question of the day. Ask Meta a question. Better be good.
Oh, man.
We don't want anything frivolous.
You know what I think?
We want to open it up.
Look, you know what I think about your callers. And then you're going to.
Don't you say nothing about my callers, man.
Like I said, you know what I think about him. Figure that out. And then you're going to have Meta deal with him.
Yeah.
You're asking.
You got Meta on. He's got a.
Yeah, but he's going to school on, some. Of the, he's going to sun some of these people, man. Which I can't wait.
This is not Joe Blow off the street. This is Meta World Peace.
No,
he's got a lot of stuff
I know,
to talk
but he's
about.
He's going
to
set these people straight. So if you're going to.
And you don't want that?
I do. That's why I'm waiting for it. Because if you're going to get your $100 gift certificate, you have to earn it today. Other days, yes. You guys are like, hey, Rodney. Okay, here's $100. No problem. No, today, you're coming strong with it, boy.
Oh, why are you poo-pooing all on
my arm?
Yeah, you are, man.
I'm not. I'm just saying. You guys are
give it away.
You guys are the nicest show ever.
We gong people if they're not there for 30 seconds or less.
No, you don't.
Absolutely.
I love you, Fred. I love you, Rodney. Here's $200.
Also, it's the Free Movie Friday program with Adam Tickets is back, and they want to give you a chance at Free Movie Tickets. Text the word ACTION right now to ATOM1 for your chance to win. The Adam Tickets app where you can browse movie titles, buy tickets, invite friends, pre-order concessions, all from your phone, and skip the lines. Standard data and text message rates apply. My man, Beto, we're going to get into more NBA, the playoffs, all that stuff with you, me, Meta World Peace. And also, we got a lot of things that are real or fake. But we're going to do this today with Meta World Peace.
No.
There's a lot of stories out there about Meta World Peace.
Oh,
some of
man.
Them are real. Some of them are fake. We're going to find out from him what the real deal is.
The panda's friend.
Yeah, man. It's lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. AM 570, LA Sports. The actual malice in the palace to his times with the Lakers, to his time with Kobe. We're going to get into all that. NBA playoffs are at a high level. And then, you know, also, the Dodgers. They won two straight, Beto.
You're all fired up.
Yeah, they
You're
won two
all
straight,
fired.
Beto.
Look at you.
What do you mean?
Last time I worked with
the
you.
The league-leading Diamondbacks. They beat them twice.
Last time I worked with you, you were like melancholy in a bitter mood. And you're a happy guy. Like right now, you're bouncing off the floor. You can't even sit still right now. You're like trying to adjust yourself.
Hey.
You're ordering lattes and you're all fired. You're having a good old time, man.
We righted the ship, Beto.
I didn't know you were such a big baseball guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew you played, but I didn't know you were like ride or die with the Dodgers.
I played, and I've always been a Dodger fan, but recently over the last, I would say, 8 to 10 years, I've been increasingly a bigger Dodger fan, and then over the last 5 years, I've been even more of that because when the Guggenheim guys came in and Magic Johnson was a part of it, who's a close friend of mine, not to name drop,
damn.
I can pick that up off the floor.
Damn, close friend of mine,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, so,
sorry.
You know, I became a real vested interest in it, and then they hired my son a couple years ago
to work
in a clubhouse. So that made it even more personal. So I ride or die with the Dodgers, man.
A lot of people were, during that McCourt era, were so disenfranchised with them where they didn't want anything to do with them.
Right.
Guggenheim came in, and you saw them putting the investment into the fans. You see
yes.
the stadium is changing, like the infrastructure of it, how the aisles are wider. Like it doesn't take as long to get food or drink or whatever, but also the winning product.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah. They did it all.
They did, but that's why people, when the McCourt had them and the team were losing, they're like, whatever, get them
out. It was a money grab for him.
But
it
now
was a money grab.
It's, you know, it's April and everybody's like, oh no. You're happy because they won two, Rodney. Like, it's just too, like I'm not
is
gonna
that
be
bad.
No, it's good because that shows you how much you care about them.
Well,
and there's so many people now that are, every single game it's like they're riding or dying right now. And you just said it. We beat the first place Arizona. Like, all right, cool. But you know, if you were like a player, you'd be like, man, it's just a game in May right now. You be like that. But as a fan, I love hearing that from you, Rodney Pete.
Yeah,
Rogelio, mi amigo.
It's bigger than that, man, because it's not playing. You're not playing, which they are. By the way, the Dodgers are in, how do you say it? Monterrey. Say it for me.
Okay. Monterrey.
Monterrey.
There you go.
Okay.
Monterrey, Mexico. That's where the Dodgers are
they
at.
They are there tonight at 6. It's a 6:10 start. Dodgers on Deck starts at 5 p.m. with Tim Cates. The Dodgers are now. That's why I'm excited, Beto, because now, you know, they were 9 games back. Now they're 7 games back. And when you're playing the team that's in first place, it does have more meaning.
Yeah.
It's not like they're playing the last place Padres, right? And they beat them 2 straight. They beat the Diamondbacks. So you gain ground on that first place. And the one thing you can't allow to happen, and I know it's a long season and everybody talks about that, there's, you know, over 125 games left. You can't fall too far behind, because once you do, you're playing catch up the whole season, and it's hard to get back.
You can't fall behind too much. And then also, when you're playing a team like Arizona, who has been looking
owned you,
but Arizona has always been looking up at you because the Dodgers win the division, and Arizona's that team. You know that Arizona. Okay, you're from Arizona. You know that you. Okay, you used to be from Arizona. You're an LA guy, but people from Arizona have that complex of like, oh, LA thinks they're too good. LA this, LA that, and they're like that inferiority complex. Where LA people are like, we ain't worried about you right now. Like, we're going to take care of our own. Arizona, you know, they get more fired up for the game, the players do. And you know the crowd, it's a bigger attendance when the Dodgers show up in Arizona because they know that Dodger fans are showing up there. How many LA transplants are now living in Arizona?
A lot.
And then you
right?
Remember a few years ago, they had that rule where if you're going to sit behind home plate, you have to wear Arizona
correct.
Gear.
Correct. I can't remember that, yeah.
I mean, that why they didn't do it because they're worried about like Cardinal fans or no, they're worried about Dodger fans. So if you but beating the Diamondbacks, it also lets them remind them like, hey, look, you might think you're good, but we're still the defending champs of the West. You still got to go through us. Yeah, we're not in the race with you right now, but we're coming for you.
Well, it's just like last year. You know, they for the last couple of seasons, in bleeding into this season. The regular season, the Diamondbacks have owned the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They really have.
Man.
But last year, they swept the Diamondbacks in the playoffs in advance.
You talk to players in the Dodgers side, and you're in the clubhouse, and you're like, are you really worried about it? Like, no, because if you put us in a series, we know we're going to stack up with them. And we're also, when you're in the playoffs, you're loading up your lineup. You have your rotation set up. It's like when you play at NFC, right? Your first three games, you were getting everybody's best punch from Western Michigan and like, you know, Sisters of the Poor.
No, you're right.
But then you're like, all right, we'll let you hang out.
Yeah.
But you're still going
to
knock them out.
Yeah. Well, we need to turn it on. We turn it on.
Exactly.
Yeah, we turn it on, turn it on. That's the Dodgers. Like, they look at it and go, wait, first of all, you're not our rival. San Francisco's our rival. You know, our rival's the Giants, not the Diamondbacks. You guys, you know, go play the Rockies or somebody else like that, you know, and deal with that. But it's still good, though. It's still good to see them
winning's
going.
Winning's always good.
Winning, they got guys hurt. And, you know, obviously Ryu went out again. Now they're saying he's not going to be back until after the All-Star break. So,
All-Star break now?
Yes. After the All-Star break. Yeah. Yeah, he tore it off the bone. He tore the groin off the bone.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever pulled your groin, Beto.
Yeah, oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's a hard deal. Yeah. Just pulling it is a bad deal. But pulling it off the bone.
He's done.
He's done to off after the All-Star break. But that brings up Walker Buehler, though.
Yeah,
Walker Buehler, he's going tonight. And great young prospect. I kept wondering why they kept him down and didn't let him just come up and be up. But now he gets to be up full-time, and we'll see what he does. And, again, Dodgers playing tonight at 6:10. It's a great trip down there in Monterrey.
Monterrey, Mexico. That's pretty cool. I was reading some of the Spanish newspapers. Not the name drop that I can read in Espanol. And by reading means I was looking at the pictures. But, no, there was a big the area out there. Look, the Dodgers are a worldwide brand.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the Latin American countries. So you'll see people wearing Dodger gear everywhere. So the papers out there were making big stories leading up to this week. There was a three-page one about Clayton Kershaw pitching in Mexico when he was 18 with Team USA, and he played, and they're like, well, Kershaw's not playing this weekend, but he's going to be in our stadium, and they've done it a lot of different things. The town is really, Monterrey is a big city. It's really industrial, and I know they were saying, Vasse can't do the postgame show because it's dangerous. I mean, everywhere is dangerous if you're looking for it. You know, don't start none, won't be none, right? But it's also a city where they
watch too much Man on Fire.
Exactly. and he was looking for it. Denzel was like, it's just business, right? It's just business. But, you know, Monterrey in that area, they've invested so much money to bring Major League Baseball. So it's going to be a great plan they have out there. Actually, the Padres have a couple of young Mexican players that are going to be out there playing for them. So it's going to be a good vibe overall. It's going to be cool to see. And they've invested a lot in that stadium just to make it up to standards for major leagues for this weekend. So it's going to be cool.
No, it's very cool. And I remember, and I just saw something recently, that the first Little League World Series team to win outside of the United States was from Monterrey.
Yeah.
There was a movie about those kids, and it was pretty incredible. So the whole story of Monterrey. Is pretty cool. It's the BJ's Restaurant and Brew House lunch hour. Please, we got Meta World Peace joining us today. And our question today, because Meta's got a lot of stories, man.
Yeah, man.
Meta's got a lot of history. Not only just playing in the NBA, but on and off the court. We want you to ask Meta a question, 866-987-2776. 2570.
You want to do this?
We do. We want to open it up for your questions to Meta World Peace, and the best questions will win a gift certificate to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. So that is the BJ's question of the day. Ask Meta a question. It better be good.
Oh, man.
We don't want anything frivolous.
You know what? I think
we want to open it up.
Look, you know what I think about your callers. And then you're going to.
Don't you say nothing about my callers, man.
Like I said, you know what I think about them. Figure that out. And then you're going to have Meta deal with them.
Yeah.
You're asking.
He's got Meta on. He's got a.
Yeah, but he's going to school on, some. Man. He's going to sun some of these people, man. Which I can't wait.
This is not Joe Blow off the street. This is Meta World Peace.
No,
he's got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I know, but he's going to set these people straight. So if you're going to.
And you don't want that?
I do. That's why I'm waiting for it. Because if you're going to get your $100 gift certificate, you have to earn it today. Other days, yes. You guys are like, hey, Rodney. Okay, here's $100. No problem. No, today, you're coming strong with it, boy. Oh,
why
I can't
are you poo-pooing
wait.
All on
I'm
my
not poo-pooing.
Yeah, you are, man.
I'm not. I'm just saying. You guys
don't
are
give
the,
it away.
You guys are the nicest show ever.
We gong people if they're not there for 30 minutes. 30
don't.
Seconds or less?
No, you don't.
Absolutely.
I love you, Fred. I love you, Rodney. Here's $200.
Also, it's the Free Movie Friday program with Adam Tickets is back, and they want to give you a chance at free movie tickets. Text the word ACTION right now to ATOM1 for your chance to win. The Adam Tickets app where you can browse movie titles, buy tickets, invite friends, pre-order concessions, all from your phone, and skip the lines. Standard data and text message rates apply. My man, Beto, we're going to get into more NBA, the playoffs, all that stuff with you, me, Meta World Peace. And also, we got a lot of things that are real or fake, but we're going to do this today with Meta World Peace.
No.
There's a lot of stories out there about Meta World Peace.
Oh,
some
man.
Of them are real. Some of them are fake. We're going to find out from him what the real deal is.
The panda's friend.
Yeah, man. It's lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney, AM 570. LA Sports.
And comes up short by Miller. The buzzer. What a test. Who took that bad shot just a moment ago. The Suns are shocked. They will review it. It appeared he got it off on time. One more test with the game winner for the Lakers.
There it is. Marv Albert never gets old. Absolutely. 866-987-2570 is the number. And our question, our BJ's question today is, you ask the question to Meta World Peace. And the best question wins a $100 gift certificate to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. All right, listen. He played 19 years in the NBA, six of those seasons with the Lakers, member of the 2010 NBA Championship Lakers team, an all-star defensive player of the year in 2004. He has a new book coming out on May 15th called No Malice. My man, Meta World Peace.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's so good to be here. So good to be here. You know, I've been away for a while. From the sports radio scene, but it's good.
You look good, man. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Joining us, man. And, you know, I want to get into the NBA playoffs and all the stuff that's going on right now, too. But the book, man, you came out with the book's coming out May 15th. Talk about the book a little bit and what's in it. Do you hold anything back or are you just letting it all hang out, man?
Well, the book is pretty cool. It's just a book about, you know, everything that I've been through in my career. But for the most part, everything's on Google and YouTube. Right now, it's just more compact here. So I've pretty much been an open book, but there's a couple of things that the writer, Ryan Dempsey, put in there, and Phil Jackson did the forward, and my parents in there talking. We try to make it real entertaining and uncensored and, you know, straight to the point and raw.
Yeah.
Why'd you do a book?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why? Right? You know, and I didn't want to do a book. Somebody said, hey, you should do a book. I'm like, I don't want to do a book. For what? Like, what am I going to do? Write a book? And they said, no, it'd be good, you know, for people to get a chance to know you a little bit more. And, you know, when you're out there doing speaking engagements and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, let's do the book. What do I do? You know, and then and then we did it. But it was tough, man. You got to talk all the time. You got to be on the phone. And it was really hard, but we made it happen.
How long did it take?
The book, it took longer for me because you know, instead of being on the phone for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours with Ryan Dempsey, some days it'd be like 15 minutes.
Right.
You know, so it took a while. Hey, Ryan, yeah. I got to go with my kids, you know, I got to go to school.
Yeah.
But we made it happen.
No, I get it. I mean, I wrote a book a few years ago.
Oh, gee, who had, anybody else write a book around here?
You know.
I read a book.
You got it. Did you? Can
yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you could
How
read.
How many books?
I didn't know
one.
You could read. But
one. Just one.
But yeah, you're right. And then I always got the comments coming back say, oh no, that's not going to work. You got to go deeper. You got to give me more. Did you find that some of the things you said, you're like, oh, and your you know, the people that you're working with said, no, I need more from you. I need more detail from you.
Well, they didn't have that problem with me.
Good.
When I told them, I said, okay, I'll do it under one circumstance that we don't hold anything back. Because I'm like, if I'm going to do a book.
Right.
You know, I wanted people to kind of really feel it, and I didn't want to hide anything in terms of, like, in my career. It's not, like, anything about other players. It's not a book about locker room stuff. I don't talk about anything like that.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, my own personal career and basically centered around the brawl back in 2003 because that was a major part of my career. And
right.
It changed a lot about, you know, my career from I was an all-star.
Right.
Right before that. I was averaging 18 points, third team all NBA, and also, and then the next year I came back averaging 25, you know, and I wanted to get MVP. The year before that, I finished sixth in voting.
Right.
Garnett got the MVP. Jermaine was like third or fourth.
Right.
We had the best record in the NBA, you know, and I finished sixth. And then the next year I came back averaging 7 points more, still the best defender in the league, you know, and that changed everything for me.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, potential Hall of Famer, all that stuff.
All of that.
Like, you know, it affected me. So
now I want to get into that as well, as well as some other stuff. But right now, let's take a call because the BJ's question of the day is ask Meta World Peace a question, and the best question wins a $100 gift certificate to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. And right now we've got Steve in Hawthorne. Steve, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go.
First off. A huge fan since you were at St. John's, Chicago Bulls letter. You are the best, my man. I wanted to ask, who was the guy who took a chair spike to the chest in that classic basketball game that you told an old host about? I'll listen off air. Love you, man.
That's a good question.
St. John, he's going back.
I know, he went back to New York City.
So he's talking about the table, the leg of the table, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we was 13 years old, and we were looking up to an older group of guys. They're playing basketball. They were in high school, and we didn't go to the game. I didn't actually see it, but when we got the news that Lloyd Newton, who's a really good basketball player, they got into a scuffle in high school championship.
Uh-huh.
And it was upstate. When one of the other opponents took the leg out the table and they threw it at Lloyd, and then the leg of the table went through his chest during in the game, you know, and he died on the spot.
Wow.
You know, and he was such a good basketball player, such a smart basketball player, and you know, we missed him, and it kind of changed the way we play basketball in Queensbridge.
Wow.
Like, we got about four basketball courts, and everybody out there, you know, we play basketball. When he died, like, you can see people playing for him every single day. You know, it got more aggressive out there a little bit. You know, so that was kind of the era.
So he was a high school player in that
high school player.
Jeez.
A really good player.
Right.
And a really good student and on his way to go to college. And who knows what would happen after that.
It's a whole new meaning to playing for keeps, man. So,
man.
So talk about that a little bit, growing up in Queensbridge and what that was like in New York and for you being a part of that and the toughness that you learned from that.
Yeah, you know, it was – no different from a lot of other communities, but when you're in your own community, you're only consumed with your thoughts and yourself and your environment. I thought I grew up the toughest. I thought nobody had it harder than me, you know, and as you get out, you see. But, you know, a lot of different challenges, especially as a kid trying to go to high school and trying to play college.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was involved in situations where, you know, if people would have found out, I probably won't get that college scholarship, you know, and then I was involved with people that was, you know, while I was in the NBA, that was going in and out of prison and all type of stuff like that. It's just the lifestyle we grew up in. You know, what you're going to do. You know, but try to, you know, become a better person and try to uplift. You know, I was really big on uplifting those type of people
right.
rather than, like, going away. like, hey, you got to get your life in order. Like, you can't keep doing this, you know, stuff like that.
You got the Queensbridge tattoo, right?
I got a Queensbridge tattoo on my leg. I don't know, you know, I wish I hate tattoos, by the way.
But you have them.
Yeah, I have them, but I don't like them.
That was in your younger days.
That was my younger days. And the last tattoos I got was my daughter and my son. I got four kids, but I only got two, and I didn't get the other two because they hurt. So now my daughter, my youngest, saying, "Hey, Dad, when are you going to get our name on you?"
I did the same thing, man. I had twins to begin with. I got them tattooed on my shoulder, and there was no way in the world with my other two kids that they would let me get away with not having them on my shoulder. So they saw that, and so I eventually had to go get those.
They made you into it?
Oh yeah, I went through it. I went, and he's right. It does hurt.
It hurts, man. I got them on the chest.
It does hurt. All right, let's take another call. Let's go to Kirk in L.A. Kirk, you're on AM 570 L.A. Sports. Kirk, oh, we lost Kirk. Okay, Dan. Dan in Simi Valley. Dan, you're on AM 570 L.A. Sports. You got a question for Meta World Peace.
Yes, first of all, Meta World Peace, I want to thank you for giving us your best when you were in Los Angeles with the Lakers when you came here. And my question is to you is, when did you find that peace in your heart to really excel and become the great basketball player that you were, and I believe that you still are? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good question, man. That's strong. Yeah.
It's kind of cool getting these questions from LA fans and being here and, you know, not really playing no more, but it's cool. But yeah, I think when I got with Coach Adelman at Sacramento, I was just coming from Indiana, you know, and then, like, Adelman, it was just a fresh start for me. Coach Carlisle was a great coach prior to that, and I had Isaiah Thomas also, but I was still in my phase. I was still, like, you know, in the kind of in the center of a hurricane, you know, and then as I was getting out of it, I met Coach Adelman, and then he was a real calm, collected coach, similar to Phil Jackson. It was very similar, you know, and it was all about the game. Somebody I'd seen on TV coach for a while, somebody I respected, and I remember, like, saying, okay, I want to start to play basketball and change a little bit. And you know, it don't happen overnight, but it started to happen gradually.
Yeah, very cool. 866-987-2570 is the number. Our BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse question of the day is, ask Meta World Peace a question. The best question wins a $100 gift certificate to BJ's.
Man, I might ask myself a question. I need that. What's that cookie? That cookie?
The pazookie.
Oh, the pazookie.
Oh, man. I want that pazookie.
Man.
So Meta.
Let's go.
Hey, you mentioned coaches, man, and you talk about Adelman. When you got to L.A. And this environment here, what was that like? Talk about the environment when you came to the Lakers and what was going on here and then your time spent here.
Well, when I first got here, I went crazy, by the way.
Because off the court?
Off the court. You hit it right. Yeah. You know exactly what it was. I mean, you come to L.A., I played in Indiana for a couple of years, Sacramento. Yeah. You know, it's not L.A., so I came here, I was out every night. And I remember my first season, I started gaining a lot of weight. And I remember we were losing that season a little bit. We wasn't having a great season. And I remember it was January, I was like, listen, I got to get in shape. And this is in the season.
In the middle of the season,
right? So Lamar and all these guys, you remember these stories, I would come on the plane with like nuts and seeds and eating super healthy.
Well, that's when you started going to Whole Foods. Huh?
I started going to Whole Foods to shop to eat.
Oh, that's right.
I was overweight, had too much alcohol in my system, you know, and I wasn't having a really good season. But then I did like my own training camp in mid-season. I remember.
You're right.
I would go to the beach to play, and
you would go work out after the workouts.
Work out after the games, and I remember Game 6. I kept it going all season. So Game 6, after we beat the Celtics here, I left Staples Center. I went right to Equinox to get a quick workout in. Everybody was just watching the game. They're like, what are you doing here? I said, I'm just sticking to what I've been doing. Got a quick workout in, and I was able to finish strong.
I remember that season. I was covering the team, and he would walk in, you know, always late. Players have to be there at 6. He was there at 5:58, right? And all of a sudden, it changes. He's there at 4:30, and he has that Whole Foods bag. And we're like, damn, you're bringing your own food. And I'm like, what are you eating? He's like, you had a bunch of different beans, a bunch of different peanuts, and a bunch of different everything. It was no food. It was just like rabbit food.
Well,
and
I was
like,
super heavy in January.
You went radical.
I went radical, absolutely.
Yeah. He detoxed in the middle of the season.
That's hard to do.
And you lost like 20-something pounds.
I lost a lot of weight. And I remember I was 250 in Game 7. which is like a good weight for me.
Yeah.
And but in January I was like 268.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is absolutely hard to, because you get into the routine of the season. It's hard to go and change your diet and all that kind of stuff. What's going on?
Oh, you're drinking every night.
That's true. All right, our friend and Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson has his big event this weekend, the 5th annual Eric Dickerson Hall of Fame Golf Invitational, benefiting the Young Warriors. It is this Sunday and Monday at the La Quinta Spa and Resort in the desert. Sports stars Barry Sanders, Marcus Allen, Ronnie Lott, James Worthy, Lawrence Taylor, Terrell Davis, Jim Brown will be there. Only a few spots left, so make sure to go to www.youngwarriors.org for more info. It is lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. We've got Beto Duran. Meta World Peace. Come on back. AM 570 LA Sports.
Fred, Beto Duran, and the very special guest in the casa. Meta World Peace, MWP at HPC. Come on now, old day.
Hey, Vic, give it to me one time.
Meta World Peace, y'all.
All right, let's give away $1,000.
Woo!
What?
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
Need dental implants? Call Cutting Dental for a free exam. 888-640-SMILE.
Hey, and remember to answer the phone. Somebody calls you, it's a fake number, bogus number, block number, unknown number, anybody's number. Answer the phone. If you text and try to win, you got to answer the phone to win. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand. You know what I'm saying, Beto?
Answer the phone.
Answer the phone.
All right. I'm going to do it. Say, Peter, call me.
Yeah, answer the phone,
Dave. Call me.
There it is. All right. Meta World Peace joins us, y'all. We're telling stories. We're talking NBA. We're talking off the court, on the court.
Dude.
You know what I'm saying?
Where are you going right now? As soon as you're done with this radio show, where are you going?
Well, after this show, I'm going to get on the plane, go to Omaha, Nebraska, to the Warren Buffett conference. I go every year. It's so cool. I go by myself.
Of course.
You know
of course
how funny
he does.
It is?
Of course he does.
I go every year. I go by myself.
I go by myself. It's really crazy. So the first time I went, and you got to be there at 5 a.m. Because once he opened the doors, it's first come, first serve. So everybody going. There's people from all around the world.
With Warren
all
Buffett.
All types of people. He's speaking. And people running in to get a seat. It's really like a concert. 20,000 arena. 20,000 people.
I mean, I know you're Meta World Peace, but how does one get invited to that? Is it an invite thing only, or how do you?
Well, you got to be a shareholder.
Okay.
But you know what? But he got two different stocks. You know, he got the BRKA, which is like a couple hundred grand. Then he got the BRKB, which is like $100.
Yeah.
So, but anybody could go.
Okay.
You know, but it's really cool because, you know, it's like an experience. I haven't experienced when I was in the NBA. In the NBA, all you focus on is basketball. And when you leave, it's like sometimes you can be kind of lost. In the business world, you know, so I just go everywhere. I try to meet people and try to do different things. And it's so funny because when the first time I went, I got there about 7 a.m. to get into the door. I was the only black guy there, right? So I'm looking around, right? I'm like, wow, I'm literally the only black guy here in the Midwest.
Well, you are in Omaha. You are in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, but everybody's coming from all around. It's like Warren Buffett. You don't want to see Warren Buffett.
You expect one other guy, right? At least.
Yeah.
Rodney, where were you at, Rodney?
Yeah, I don't know.
But then you've been going to China to give Yahoo speeches?
Well, I'm doing a Yahoo Finance talk tomorrow. And then, listen, I'm not that smart, all right? They just want to speak to me maybe about basketball. I don't know. But it's good. It's an experience. It's cool.
I mean, that's the best thing about you, man. I've known you a little while, and the things you do, and people look at you different ways on the court, but off the court, the things that I know about you off the court, the give back that you do and all those type of things is amazing, which makes you such a likable guy. And there's so many questions and so many things out there about you. So we came up with this thing called Real or Fake about Meta World Peace, right? And so we're going to read them, and then Beto, you're going to let us know if this is real or this is fake.
Here's
and then Meta, you got to tell us if this is real or this
is like
fake.
It's like the urban legend of Meta World Peace, because there's there's things that I've been around, and I'm like, I think he told me that story, but I don't know if it was true or not, or like I don't know if it really is going on. So this is going to be interesting. So, yeah.
Okay. Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Oh, all right. I'm going to start off with this one. All right. Meta admitted to drinking Hennessy Cognac between halves when he played for the Chicago Bulls in 1999 to 2002. See, Beto, is that real or fake?
See, I've heard these stories, but I don't think it was Hennessy. I think he was drinking beer. So I think that one's fake.
Meta?
It was a real story.
It was a real story. You were drinking Hennessy between...
I was a young, dumb kid. And I was a young... Can I say it any other way? Young and dumb. Double dumb. I can say it a different way.
You would just take shots.
Well, you know, I was just dumb, man. It was dumb. I don't know any other way I can say it. Because, you know, those times was crazy. I was super stressed out as a 19-year-old kid. I made some money. Why are you stressed out? You're making money. I don't know, but I was.
Was it in, like, a brown bag in your locker?
It was just, you know, sometimes I'd just go to the store and just a little.
All right, here we go. Here we go, the next
one. Yeah. I thought it was beer.
Meta World Peace. He showed up on Jimmy Kimmel's show naked. Beto,
what?
He showed up naked. Beto, is that true? Is that real or fake?
Nah, that's fake.
Yeah?
Because he wouldn't be able to get on TV. You gotta have some clothes.
Yeah, that's true. It was my boxers. It wasn't naked. It was boxer shorts that looked like boxer briefs.
That's all you did? You just showed up?
That was it.
Were you invited?
I was invited. He was surprised, but I did.
I think we all are.
I was in really good shape.
Too. Yeah, you look good.
It's on the Whole Foods. All right,
here we go.
Damn, I'm over two. All right.
In 2004, you tried to bring your pet tiger to a practice in Indianapolis. Beto, is that real or fake?
Hold up.
It's Meta World Peace now.
A pet tiger. You know what? You said you were born in Indianapolis and there was nothing to do. I think you had a tiger.
No, that's false. Oh. I don't like to be around like certain animals. Definitely not a tiger.
Would
be cool though.
Hold up, I don't like this game.
I love animals.
All right, we're
the panda's friend.
We're gonna do a couple more. All right, he auctioned off his only championship ring for $500,000 for charity. Is that real or fake?
I know he auctioned it off. I was there when the guy won it.
Oh, you got history.
But I don't think he went for $500,000.
Okay.
I think it was less than that.
It went for $671.
Oh! But it was a raffle, right?
It was a raffle.
And people could buy a raffle ticket for $100.
Could buy a raffle ticket.
$671,000.
Wow.
And we did it. Some people said auction it, and I'm like, I'm not going to auction it. And I tell the story a lot because they were like, you're never going to make what you think you're going to make. I'm like, listen. We just won a championship. Let's do a raffle. We did the raffle, and we did it. And in 2 months, we gave all the money away to mental health institutions. It was a great feeling.
Oh, man. Fantastic, man. So, you know, I mean, it's a great cause. I get that. But do you ever think, like, this is my ring, man. I'm not going to give that up.
Well, originally I did because when I seen it, I'm like, wow, this is really cool.
And it was the one the team made for you.
It was mine personally. It wasn't like they gave you replicas.
Yeah.
But this one was mine. And right. But, yeah, I wanted to make sure I gave it away for a good cause, and we did. It was great.
All right. Let's go. Last one. You dated Mariah Carey at one point.
Nah, he ain't got that game.
Yeah. We at the same time, we both was like, nah.
Nah, he's got better taste.
You said that off quick, man.
Nah, Mariah's old, man. Hey, look. I said
one time, Beto.
Not now.
Hey, Meta does like well Mariah. For himself.
Yeah. I like Mariah.
Man, she crazy.
You hating on Mariah?
Me and Mariah.
Oh, my God.
Babies with Pastor Five.
I got one.
He did do a rap, though.
We all know the Mariah song.
We know the rap. All right, let's go back to this.
You're not dealing with divas like that, man.
Let's go back to it. It's not Mariah today. It's back in the day we said that, though. Let's go to the calls. Get a question for Meta World Peace. Let's go to John and Paso Robles. John, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go.
Meta, what's going on? Good honor to talk to you.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm really good, thank you. Just under 1,000 games played in the NBA, overseas, China, Italy. You are always a little get under the skin of the players. I know that was an asset for your tenacious playing. Is there anybody you ever regretted to not stepping up to, or anybody you really wish you got under their skin a little bit more?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like when I played, I wasn't trying intentionally to get under people's skin. What I always wanted to do was take up space. So, like, wherever you wanted to go, I just did not want you to get there. If you were trying to get to the hoop, I wanted you to not get to the hoop. If you were trying to post up, I wasn't going to give you a comfortable spot to post. If you was coming off a down screen and you were setting the pick, I'm not going to let you set the pick or come off the down screen. So it was annoying. So I wasn't like intentionally trying to get under people's skin. They just couldn't do what they was doing against other defenders against me. So, you know.
And you're a bull too, man.
And I was pretty strong and pretty fast. And now I'm slow and out of shape. But yeah, it was. But a couple people I couldn't get. I couldn't have a consistent times against Richard Hamilton. Kobe was very tough. LeBron was very tough. He came in as a 17-year-old, gave me 25 his first game, and I literally wanted to jump off a building. I was so mad. I mean, here I am, one of the best defenders, and my goal is not to let you score.
Right.
So I would do that some games. There was times I would hold all-stars to 0, 2, 4 points, right? If you get two, I'm like going crazy inside, right?
Now, would you talk to him? Would you talk
to him? No, I wouldn't talk trash.
You wouldn't talk trash?
No, I didn't talk trash.
You ain't getting nothing tonight. You wouldn't say that to him?
I just pretty much did the job.
I would sit for media. I would sit behind the basket, and you could see him working, especially when you had that series when you were with the Rockets playing the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you never talked, but you always did that extra grab of the shirt.
Yeah, a little annoying something, right?
He was always locking arms with guys, especially on inbounds plays. And guys are yelling, and you can hear what guys are chirping, and you're just staring at
playing
him.
Into the refs and all that stuff. Yeah.
Because it's all about position. Like, if your arm is there and I put my arm here, or like if there's a space, like you are here, and this is like, I can take up this space real quick.
Right.
And I'm not touching you, but I'm annoying you
a little bit.
Like, guys are doing this. I might even tickle your belly.
That's exactly what they're saying, especially on the inbounds, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't let them get position. Don't let them get position.
And he never talked.
Hey, this is Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Beto Duran is in for Fred. Our special guest is Meta World Peace. His book is No Malice, out May 15th. I want to get Meta's thoughts on the NBA playoffs that is happening right now. More from the Rays Lounge at the Hollywood Park Casino next. AM 570, LA Sports.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress.
That's nice. Man. Never gets old.
A lot of Rodney in that read.
Yeah,
How much was that sample, right? How much was it clear that sample?
Right?
Wow,
right?
They got the money, huh?
A lot of money. Look at all that water you're drinking.
Fred paid for that. We're out at the Hollywood Park Casino at the Rays Lounge. My man Beto Duran is here with me. Meta World Peace joins us.
It's good to be here.
Listen, Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Hey, so Meta, this year's playoffs, right, NBA playoffs, where we are now, especially in the East. Especially, let's start with the East, what's going on in the East. You got Cleveland up on Toronto 2-0. Toronto had the best record in the East. You got Boston, who lost Kyrie, Gordon Hayward early in the season. They look dominant against the Sixers, which I believe somebody in this room picked the Sixers.
Who? I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, he did. All right, so let's start with the Sixers and Boston series, man. What's happening? What's going on with the Sixers? Come on, Ben Simmons gets 1 point?
I know. Right when I picked him to win, he was playing so well, you know, and I feel like he's amazing. I think he's gonna come back because he's that type of player. When you're special. And then they got Embiid, and I feel like those two guys is some of the best players in the league, and, I don't know how you beat that team. You just beat – I guess you got to beat Boston.
How does that happen, though, when – your first time ever in a playoff. Right?
Yeah.
It's different, right?
It is.
Like Simmons even said, like, I don't know how I only got 1 point. Like, I don't even get a field goal. Like, how does that happen?
But he's a team player anyway. So even if, he scores 18 sometimes. Yeah, whereas, like, James Harden, he'll score 40, and a bad game for him is, like, 20. Well, Simmons is, a bad game for him is maybe one. It's not a bad night because that's the type of play he is. He's very unselfish.
Right. You know? Let me ask you this, Meta, because, during the course, they were up 22 at one point, and they gave it back, right? And a lot of criticism went to the coach because at that point, when Boston went on that run right before half, there was no timeout call, there's no adjustment, there's anything like that. I mean, you're in that situation. Don't you got to stop the bleeding at some point?
You're
up 22 before half, and they go on a 20-2 run on you, and you don't call timeout?
Well, you're saying the coach?
Yeah, coach the Sixers.
Well, sometimes I think it's good to let the boys get through it, man. Sometimes you got to let them get through the adversity. Like Rick Carlisle, he's never going to let that happen. So you're not going to know if you can get through adversity or not. Carlisle, it seems like he has 20 timeouts, right? How does Carlisle have all these timeouts?
He has the other team. But then Phil would let you guys, no matter what.
Phil lets you play through it. Phil go home with like 4 or 5 timeouts. Phil he be in Montana in that nice little, I got 100 timeouts for my career. Phil not calling a timeout. I remember in game 7, Phil – he come back to the huddle and just like, all right, guys. Like, you know, he's not, no strategy. He's just, all right, just go do it. Phil is amazing. I don't know how he did it. He's amazing.
Oh, man. And then, you know, you got a guy in that same series, you got a guy like T.J. McConnell who's playing well. We just talked about Ben Simmons. He comes and gives them fits, but they don't stay with him. They come back again in the game, and they put Ben Simmons back in the game.
Right.
And I know he's your guy. He's your superstar that got you there. But that's a tough call, right? When you got a guy that's got the hot hand, why not leave him in?
Well, sometimes, you know, and I'm coaching now, and it's so hard because you might want to play a guy. Or you might have a guy that's really good, and he might get upset if you don't play him, you know. Coaching is not as easy as people think, you know. And and right now I'm coaching some players, and no NBA players. Nobody has contract, but I do have best players on my team. And I sit them on the bench, and they get mad, you know, and it's like, oh, boy, I got to put him back in. And yesterday I had a situation where I said, you're not playing for the rest of the night. You know, one of my best players, and, you know, it's tough. So, yeah, I can see. But, yeah, you should leave the hot hand in, but how do you leave Ben Simmons on the bench?
Right.
What made you pick Philly?
I like Ben. I like Embiid. I think those guys are tough. I think they're very mature, and I feel like if they get anybody in a game seven or something like that, they can pull it out.
Even though they don't have a playoff experience.
Yeah, I feel like they just got it. You know, I feel like those guys got it. But I think they might have heard my comment, and now it's going to their head. So they suck.
You and Charles Barkley. Guarantee. All right, the other side. Cleveland, all right? Everybody wrote off Cleveland. They wrote off LeBron. He goes in there, Toronto, lights them up.
LeBron James.
You know what I mean? I mean, talk about him and just his will and his talent, number one. But just in general, how he's done it for so long and done it in so many different ways.
Well, LeBron, I remember him being 15 years old and playing with us. We was in Chicago. I was a rookie, and we go play with Michael Jordan, Antoine Walker, Michael Finley, and Jerry Stackhouse, all these guys in their prime. One time, Charles Barkley showed up, too, and played. And here comes this 15-year-old kid giving work to all these pros, you know? And I'm like, wow. And I remember him coming on a fast break against me, and I hacked him real, gave him a really good foul. I'm like, listen, you're very strong and good, but you're going down right now. He took the foul, and he's been around that for a long time, around that pro atmosphere and giving 100%. He came into the league watching tape. So he's ahead of the game.
Yeah.
He's exiting his career on top, and half of it is because he's so smart. You know, LeBron, I wish he were coach. I would love to see him and Kobe. I would love to see those guys just like coach for a couple years because they're so smart.
Right. So you saw him when he was 15, then you played against him a lot in the NBA.
Yeah, in the NBA,
But he's a guy who every single year finds a new wrinkle to improve on. How do you do that?
Well, you do it by taking care of your body. You know, remember he came in and he would never take those big shots?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't confident. And he was smart enough to know, okay, I'm not making these shots. I'm going to pass. He was smart enough to pass the ball to somebody who could shoot better. Then he's making big shots now. You know, he improved on that. He's a really good shooter. Yeah. And he's just as athletic. I don't think he's as in great a shape. But, I mean, he can play for another 5 years.
No, that's great to see that. And you knew early on when he was a 15-year-old kid, like you said, playing with the big boys. Not everybody can do that.
Right.
If they have talent, but it's talent doesn't get you there. You have to have that mentality that tells you I can play with Meta World Peace. I can play with Michael Jordan. I can be on the same field because talent alone is not going to be able to get that at 15 years old. That's pretty special.
Yep.
All right.
True.
Congratulations to Dan in Simi Valley. He had the best question for Meta today. He has won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse with over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, and Meta, the one and only Pazookie dessert. Next, we're going to take Meta and Laker fans back to a happy place, a time that Kobe Bryant says was his personal favorite. Beto Duran is in for Fred. Our special guest is Meta World Peace. More from the Hollywood Park Casino next, AM 570 LA Sports. Welcome back to Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. My man Beto Duran is in for Fred Rogan today. Our special guest is Meta World Peace.
Good to be here.
We've had a lot of fun. The first hour was great, telling stories, all that kind of stuff. We're going to keep it going, man. I want to take you back. Take you back when you first joined the Lakers in that 2009-10 season, man. And,
yeah.
And what that was like when you were able to join the Lakers. Because you talked early in the first hour about coming to L.A. and getting caught up a little bit and doing all those things. But to come to a historic franchise like the Lakers, what was that like for you?
It was really cool. I remember getting the call. I was at the SLS Hotel, and I get a call from my agent about midnight. He was like, hey, the Mitch Kupchak call. I said, for what? That's exactly what I remember. He was like, they want you. I said, me, for what?
Oh, said, at midnight, right, when you can become a free agent.
It was midnight. It was, you know, Mitch called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
He didn't wait.
It was 12:01 when I got the call.
Really?
Yeah, it was 12:01, and I was like, okay, let's do it. And I came in here as a Laker, had the uniform, and it was cool because I was always into that scene. I was always into the L.A. scene. You know, yeah. Everybody wanted to be a superstar or a big actor, you know. And I had that phase when I was a young NBA player. So for me, it was like, wow, I'm in L.A. I'm going to be a super movie star. But
when you showed up, though, there was still that stigma of like, okay, that's the guy from the Malice in the Palace. That's still the guy who is another team. Be like, well, you weren't the Panthers' friend yet. You were still Ron Artest.
I was still Ron Artest, and I just came off that Lakers series where we almost beat the Lakers that 1 year. So I still, a couple fans like, I didn't like you, and I still don't kind of like you. And then when I won, they like, I kind of like you now.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Yeah. All of a sudden.
It was funny.
Well, you know, after Kobe's career, and he reflects back, he always talks about the different seasons, and he mentioned that season, that 09, that 10 season when you guys won it, as his favorite season. We have sound from Kobe.
Man, you go down at our 09 team, our 2010 team, and literally pick every single guy from that roster. That 09 team was really special. It was the most fun I ever had playing basketball in my entire life. I was just a special group. You know, we all had special bonds. Like, I've never been on a team where literally everyone liked each other and respected each other to the point where we could be brutally honest with each other, argue about it, and not feel personal about it. All those guys on that team, man, from one all the way down to 14, 15, it was beautiful.
Wow.
I never heard that.
You were smiling about that.
I mean, I gotta, you know, I love Kobe because one, he plays like Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan, my favorite player. Uh-huh. So when I came to the Lakers, I was like, wow, I'm playing with Kobe. I'm playing with Lamar Odom, who reminds me of Tony Kukoc. I'm playing with, you know, Phil Jackson. You know, and I just threw myself in there at Scottie Pippen.
Might as well, right?
And Rodman. I was two of them. My favorite team when I was a kid. But, you know, it was just a special time. And to hear that from Kobe, it's kind of cool. I never heard that before.
See, you jumped in with the squad that the year before they had beat Orlando, and they took care of Dwight easily, and they went on the road. And I remember talking to Lamar, and he was all emotional about that. But then you showed up on the year that they had to defend it, and go through Boston. So you were like the one – you just said off the air, though. They went to the White House. They meet the president.
Yeah.
And where'd you go?
I mean, when they went to the White House, I remember I told them, I said, listen, I'm not going to the White House because I don't have a ring. I don't like to do something that I didn't earn, you know? And Phil was like, you're going to get on that bus and you're going to go to the White House, right? So I'm like, I'm not going, right? So I said, okay, I got to go, right? So then once they was on the bus, I knew they wasn't going to be late for the White House. I stayed in my room.
And then
I stayed in my room, right? So they calling me, where you at? Get down here. This is disrespectful. All that stuff, right? And I knew they was leaving. And they went to the White House. And they can't be late for Obama, you know? And I remember, like, they getting back. And they just laughed about it. But, yeah, I didn't want to go and feel like I earned something I didn't earn.
Right.
You know, I was like, no, I got to earn it. If not, then I'll be a loser for the rest of my life. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. What was it like, though, jumping into a squad that had already won? Kobe talked about how they were tight, and then you show up as a new guy. And I remember doing interviews with guys, and they were saying that, you've had a different intensity at practice because you were the only one on the team that year that didn't have a ring, that hadn't won anything.
Well, I always had a different intensity at practice, by the way. So they just, you know, they won championship, but how I practiced that year was the way I practiced all the time.
Were you intense in practice? Were you one of those guys?
I was crazy.
Oh, man. I used to hate those guys. Football field. That, you know, that defensive back that wanted to intercept every pass.
But you know what's crazy? Like,
practice. You were that guy, Ron. You were that guy.
I was that guy, but like I was like the best player on my team a lot, but then I was that guy. So like I played against the guy who didn't play, who worked hard, but I used to smash those guys. Just those guys that get no minutes, and I used to be like, they couldn't keep up with the intensity. It was too much. I missed those days.
Listen, you talked about earning it. You talked about Laker fans not quite embracing you. Well, they certainly embraced you after this happened in Game 7.
Bryant looking. Artest, that's a three. Bang! Lakers by six with a minute to play.
What does that make you feel like, man?
That always gives me chills, man. I ain't gonna lie. To this day, and the reason is because, like, that moment was summed up my career, and I needed something like that. I knew I was a good player, but it's just, like, too many things was happening in between. It wasn't all about the game. It was always off the court. And I have a moment like that, I'm like, how did you know, the Almighty, whoever you believe in, how did they give me this moment?
Right.
You know, and I got it from Kobe. He threw the ball to me, and he gave me a moment to share. As an athlete, you know, like, you get a moment, touchdown, and that's all you have. Sometimes it's bigger than money, and, like, it's just amazing. Yeah. I love that moment.
After the game, the press conference, where you were up there, and probably one of the best ones ever, besides just you're yelling at your kids, look at me, right? But you even had that one segment where you said, Kobe passed me the ball. You were, like, all excited.
I mean, y'all know Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. He rarely
passed
the
ball. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know Kobe, right?
In the fourth quarter, he passed.
I know Kobe. You know Kobe. Yeah. I was surprised. I was ready.
Yeah.
Literally, when people don't understand, man, I'm not a role player, but I was on that team.
Yeah.
Being a role player is hard because you have to be ready.
Yeah.
You know, I went from being a superstar, I was averaging 22 the year before that, to averaging 8. And then everybody's saying, you can't play. And I got to hear this, all this stuff. But I'm like, okay, I just got to do this for my team. I don't care. You know, and literally, if you watch those games, I'll be like this all the time. And it was games where I only take 4 shots.
Yeah.
But I'm like this for 40 minutes.
And Kobe, he saw it. He just wasn't passing it to you.
You know, but he wanted to put it in his own hands. You know? And that's Kobe for you. I love Kobe. It taught me a lot about myself. Yeah.
That was, a great moment, man. And great for you, great for the Lakers. And especially against the Celtics, man. That's,
man. I know, right?
Oh, I love it. All right, the free movie Friday program with Adam Tickets is back. We want to give you a chance to win free movie tickets. Text the word ACTION right now to ATOM1 for your chance to win. The Adam Tickets app, where you can browse movie titles, buy tickets, invite friends, pre-order concessions, all from your phone and skip the lines. Standard data and text message rates apply. Beto Duran is in for Fred. Our special guest is Metal World Peace. His new book, No Malice, comes out May 15th. We'll get into more stories from his book. But first, the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will join us next. We're live from the Hollywood Park Casino, AM 570 LA Sports. Welcome back. Lunchtime with Rogan and Roddy. I'm with my man, Beto Duran.
Yeah.
My very special guest, Metal World Peace, joins us. We're here at the Hollywood Park Casino in the Rays Lounge.
It's amazing here.
Yes,
so
it is.
Cool.
Yes, it is. Before we get going anymore, we want to get some money in your pocket. Let's go. And answer the phone, Beto.
Answer the phone. Call me.
Somebody may be calling. If you're going to text and try to win $1,000, you got to answer the phone. That's the only way you're going
to
win.
You guys give $100 to BJ's, then you give $1,000.
We're givers. We're givers, man.
Man, you guys need a 5-hour show.
And we'd be broke. All right, man. We're just talking about the good old days back in 2010 when you hit the game-winning shot against the Celtics, which was amazing. And speaking of the Lakers.
Yes.
Speaking of the Lakers, we got the legend, the captain, the big timer, the all-time great, the captain Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joins us. Kareem, how you doing?
It's all good. How you feeling?
I'm doing good. I'm here with Beto Duran and Metal World Peace, man.
Hey, Cap, how you doing?
It's all good, man. How you guys feeling?
That's great. You having a good time? It's so good to speak to you.
Holly's doing good, man. She's doing good. She's shooting a movie in Vancouver, so I'm all alone. Which sometimes is good.
I see.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's good, Cap. Hey, listen, man. Dancing with the stars.
You don't eat as well.
I know. That's true. I eat bad when she's gone. Listen, let's get into it right away. Let's get into it right away, man. Dancing with the Stars. How did it come about when they asked you, and had they asked you before and you turned them down, and how did you come about to doing it?
Well, they'd never asked me before, but, you know, I'd watched Derek Fisher and Emmitt Smith, and I thought, well, you know, that's pretty interesting. And then they called a couple of weeks ago, like about a month ago, and my agent said, we got this call. And I said, hey, I want to do it. And she was shocked.
So, hey, Cap, when they told you how long the practices are, because I did it 1 year and I got ejected the first time, but I was the first one off, but the practices were so long, so I know you're in such great shape. I remember you used to come to the locker room and practices, and he was in such great shape, so how are you going to prepare yourself to start dancing?
Well, you know, the thing is, man, it has to do with if you can remember the choreography. Because you got to turn the right way at the right time and do the right thing. If you don't, you're just by yourself looking stupid. So that's the toughest part of it, I think. You know, yes, just understanding the choreography and making the right moves at the right time. You know, memorizing your cues. So for me, that's been the challenge, to remember everything I got to do and do it right in coordination with the other dancers.
It's so cool to see you doing it. How's your son doing? I remember seeing your son at the game sometimes. I haven't seen him in a while.
He's doing fine. He works for Kaiser now.
Oh, that's
he's
great.
A hospital administrator. And my younger son, he's a surgeon now.
Wow.
He's a back surgeon. So if you mess your back up, let me know. I got the right person.
Absolutely.
God forbid I don't, but if I do, I'm calling you. Talking to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, six-time NBA champion, Hall of Famer, Dancing with the Stars. Kareem, you got the salsa coming up, man. Is that something you're familiar with, or something you had to learn? Talk to me about the salsa, brother.
I learned the salsa while I was in high school.
Oh.
Okay.
Look at you.
Being raised in New York City. Yeah, you know, my family's from the Caribbean, from Trinidad, but, you know, being in New York City with all these people from Cuba and Puerto Rico and Santo Domingo, you know, a lot of the Latin dances got into our repertory. Plus, we would go to those parties and dances, too. So, you know, there's a whole lot of cross-cultural stuff happening in New York. And, you know, all the brown people from the Caribbean like to hang out and have fun.
So how tall is your partner? Because we know you're 7'2".
Right. He's 5'4".
5'4", okay. Who's your partner?
Jeez.
Is it PETA?
Her name is Lindsay Arnold.
Oh, Lindsay, okay. So, and you did a lot of yoga. So, I mean, you was doing yoga before. It wasn't even in style. I remember hearing stories how you took care of your body. You know, so, like, how was that actually? Like, when you was doing it and then you see everybody's, like, doing yoga and you was kind of one of the first athletes to start doing it.
Well, you know, I'm glad that I started when I did because it enabled me to play as long as I did. If I hadn't done that yoga, I wouldn't have played as long, and my health wouldn't be as good right now. You know, I have a lot of flexibility, and I'm still in some kind of shape because of the yoga. So I'm very thankful that that's been part of my life.
Yeah, the yoga and the martial arts. I remember you from Game of Death with Bruce Lee, man. That was my favorite.
I know, right? That's amazing. I remember being a kid watching you do that. I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. I want to do that when I get older also.
Hey, what was that like working with him, Cap?
Oh, Bruce was a great guy, man. Because, you know, a lot of the martial arts guys, they didn't want to teach you if you didn't want to learn everything that they knew and if you didn't want to put down the other school. And Bruce wasn't like that. He taught everybody, and he was open to all kinds of techniques. And it really made for a better atmosphere, you know? Learning was what was important, and what you learn from, that was irrelevant.
No, that is absolutely great. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joins us on Lunchtime with Rogan and Roddy. It's Dancing with the Stars, Monday on ABC at 8 o'clock. Kareem, transitioning to these Lakers and the season that they just had, the young crew that they got, how do you see this young crew, and what do you see for them in the offseason? Do they need to go out and get two guys, one guy? What do you see what's happening with the Lakers right now?
I think they have a fine nucleus of young players. They need one or two guys that can be the leaders and be the studs. You know, they need somebody on the front line that can play defense and rebound and make it difficult near the basket. I thought they gave up too many points in the paint, you know. And then somebody that can run the offense and, you know, play defense against the team's other ball handler. I thought Isaiah Thomas was a great acquisition for him because he was smart, understood the game and, you know, had good leadership qualities. So, you know, as long as they're getting guys of that caliber, they'll continue to improve.
So I've been hearing a lot of talk about Isaiah potentially going somewhere else. Like, what do you think? Would you want to keep him, or would you want to, or do you not really care, like, if he's gone or here?
Well, if Isaiah plays for the Lakers, he's a very capable point guard.
Agreed.
And you need that. You never know who's going to get hurt. And if you have more than one guy that can run the offense and everybody respects, that's an advantage.
Hey, Cap, before we let you go, back to Dancing with the Stars, man. When you're sitting up there afterwards and you're hearing the critiques and the folks talking about you, I mean, how are you feeling when they're sitting up there just kind of going up and down the things that you did and basically ripping you? You know, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, some of them rip me and some of them admire me. You know, you can't put it all in on one side or the other.
Yeah,
and that's I think that's the good part about it, because people are relating to me just being willing to go out there and risk looking foolish so I can have some fun. And so far I've been having a lot of fun doing it. It's I've gotten calls from people I haven't heard from in years, man. What are you doing? So just like I'm just out there representing for the baby boomers. But
I think it's been so fun. Cool.
If I'm off on Monday, it's okay. I'm glad I got that far and gave it a shot.
Well, we want to see you on there for a long time.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Keep it going, man. And like you said, you've been doing the salsa since high school, man. So I expect some good things coming up on Monday.
Yeah, I hope you guys call in on Monday night and vote for me, all right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all the listeners are going to call in
you.
As well. Hey, Kareem, thanks so much for joining us, man. We really, really appreciate it. And best of luck on Dancing with the Stars.
Great talking with you, Pete. And give Holly my best.
Will do. Will do. All right. We're going to have Manuel Priest tell us some more stories. And we're going to have a good call, bad call.
It's
one of your favorite segments.
Is that the one where Figure gets involved?
Yeah.
K-Figs involved?
K-Figs is involved.
Then I like
it.
I like that one.
You know what I'm saying? You like that one?
Yeah, that guy needs some more shine.
It's rare that you like things.
I like a lot of things. Man, I'm just saying.
Yeah, come on, man.
This show right now, on fire. I love this show.
Is it because Cinco de Mayo is tomorrow?
Oh, wow.
I'm just asking.
It's because you're going to go to the show I'm doing with Vinny Bonsignore tomorrow?
Yes.
At Talent Shows in Manhattan?
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But before that, let's go to Vic. Vic, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah.
Come on, Vic. Come on now.
Yeah. Hey, Vic's tomorrow in Manhattan Beach.
I know.
Vic's coming. Are you going, Ronnie?
I'm coming down.
No, you're not.
I know I'm
There's
not.
No chance.
Official festival of all Cinco de Mayo festivities tomorrow in Manhattan Beach. Vinny Bonsignore, Beto Duran, and myself. Special broadcast, 12 to 3. It's going to be wild. Of course, the greatest margaritas in probably all the planet are at Poncho's Manhattan Beach.
Hey, Vic. Didn't you want to ask Meta a question? You want to confirm a story or not?
Urban legend has it, of course, and I believe it's well-documented. Meta World, please, bear me out on this, but it's been documented in many, many journals of the association history that after the Lakers had that heartbreaking loss to the hated Celtics right before you joined the team the next year, and, of course, had the amazing Game 7 that put another ring, another banner onto the dojo, that you went into the Lakers shower to profess your love for the Lakers after they lost to the Celtics. Is that a true story, Meta World Peace?
Some of the story is true. I'll tell you how it went. Mm. So I was in New York, and then my best friend Lamar Odom is playing for the Lakers in the championship, so I drive down to Boston with my cousin. So then they lose, and I lost that year to Boston by 30 at home, and I didn't like it because they was talking a lot of trash. You know Garnett, pass, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing I can do about that game. They just killed us. So when they lost and they won by 30 in Boston, I felt kind of bad, and Lamar was on that team. And so I go into the locker room just to tell Kobe, like, you know, good job. I'm a fan of Kobe. I love watching Kobe play. You know, and I wanted to tell him good job. And he was in the shower. So I had my Sacramento Kings shirt on because I didn't want the Kings to think that I'm going in to try to be a Laker, you know.
Right.
And then I was going to leave. And after I saw Phil, I saw Brian Shaw. And I said, Brian, where's Kobe? Just tell him I said, good game and, you know, peace out. Brian said, just go in the shower. He in the shower. So I go into the shower and I tap Kobe. Kobe's butt naked, right? But he's like facing the other way, right? So I say, I tap him, right? And he looks, he turns around, because he reminded me of 50 Cent. Like, if you touch 50, I look at you like, what are you touching, right? So I tap Kobe. He turned around with this grill, and he was like surprised. Like, yo, what are you doing in the shower, right? He didn't say, but I could tell he was thinking it. I wouldn't say, hey, I got to go. And I didn't want to wait for you that long, so I came in here to say, great game. And you know what? You're going to get him next time.
now, wow.
That is the story.
That is an all-time story.
It's legendary stuff for Middle World Peace.
I was in that locker room, and you know, they just got their butts handed to them. And we had already done interviews with everybody, and we were just waiting for Kobe to come out. And then out of nowhere, you know, everybody's packing their stuff, and you just see Meta come out of the shower and just like, all right, bye, guys. And he just keeps on walking. First of all, it's the NBA Finals where you need credential for the credentials. Right. And he just walked on in there, and you're like, how? What's going on?
The best part about that story is that he was wearing his King's.
Yeah, I was wearing my King's shirt.
He had a King's dry fit on.
I love it. Yeah, I did. So I didn't want the Kings to think, hey, I'm in a Lakers locker room. I'm at this game. Like, I'm loyal to you guys, but I want to see this game. This is a huge game.
It was the weirdest thing. Like, what? Like, all right, Sasha, will you chitch? I ain't talking to you anymore.
I love it. All right, right now, we got to get into this. Meta, we do this thing called Good Call, Bad Call, man. It's the greatest thing in the world. We talk about certain things that are happening right now, and we want to get your take on whether it's a good call or a bad call.
Okay.
Hit it, K-Fig.
It's time for Good Call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad Call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, gentlemen, we'll start with this. Would it be a good call or a bad call for the NBA to fine James Harden for smacking the hand of a fan away a couple of nights ago? Houston Rockets star James Harden slapped a fan's hand at his cell phone prior to Game 2 the other night. This was in Houston, by the way. Apparently, this was a Jazz fan who said that, hey, Harden, you're still flopping out there. And as he said that, Harden smacked the phone out of the guy's hand. The guy got into an argument with the security guards, was not kicked out of the game. Now there's talk as to whether or not the NBA should fine James Harden. Now, it was a couple of days ago, and they have not done anything yet, so we don't know what the official word is going to be. But some are calling for him to be fined, especially after Rodney Hood was fined for doing the exact same thing earlier this season when he played for Utah. So, Meta, I'll start with you. Do you think it'd be a good call or a bad call for the NBA to fine James Harden for smacking away the phone of a fan that was recording and heckling him?
Well, I think, like, I've been on the side where fans called me all sorts of names, especially in the era we came in. And it's a part of the game, and you don't want it to get out of hand. But I kind of like when the fans go crazy and do stupid things. Some people can't deal with it. You know, I love it, you know, personally. You know, they call my mom names, all sorts of things. So I think it's a part of the game, and I think, like, we got to keep that. You don't want the fans to come to the game and not be able to say, you suck. You know, I think that's really cool. So I think James should embrace it and then maybe just pay a little bit of money. It's not a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's about $300 million.
Especially in Utah, because those fans are vicious.
They're vicious in Utah.
Oh, they're not the nice kumbaya. No. They come at you strong.
Yes.
You know what? Everybody now is just trying to make a name off of somebody. They're recording it to say, here's what I did to Meta. All of a sudden, I'm ending up on World Star doing this and that. But you can't, as a flow, touch somebody's stuff.
Right? However, I don't think you should be able to go in somebody's face with your camera on and be like, you suck. Look, you're on World Star. Yeah, you're on all over the internet. That should not be allowed because that's a little bit,
The fine, you can't touch somebody's stuff, man. Yeah, you got to keep your hands to yourself.
I got you. So I'm on the other side.
And no throwing beer.
I'm on the other side of that. Because just what Meta just said, you can't invade the space of a player. Regardless. So, did Russell Westbrook get fined when that guy tried to take a picture of him walking off the court and he slapped the phone out of the guy's hand? Did he get fined?
Well, actually, Kevin said that somebody got fined earlier this year.
Yeah, so Rodney Hood.
Rodney Hood.
Now, Westbrook didn't actually make contact with that fan. He just kind of yelled at him and pointed at him. Rodney Hood physically smacked at him, and he made contact, as did James Harden, made contact with the fan. Westbrook didn't.
Well, here's the thing. There's an invadable space that fans got to stay away from, and they got to understand that, because Beto made a good point. Once you allow a fan to see that some guy got fined, then the next fan is, hey, I'm going to get this guy fined. I'm going to get this guy fined. I'm going to get in his face. And it starts to be a bad precedent. So I don't think he should get fined. I think he should, you know, there should be a warning, but not get fined.
Space is very important. Like, imagine a man's, you know, imagine somebody's face real close to your face. Yeah. It's like, no, this is my space. Get your face away from
that tunnel, man.
You own space. Like, too close.
Yeah, too close. Too close.
All right, on to the next one. Good call or bad call to say that David Fizdale can lure LeBron James to the New York Knicks. The Knicks Wednesday reportedly hired David Fizdale to a four-year contract to be their new head coach. LeBron has a previous relationship with Fizdale as he was one of the main assistants down in Miami during LeBron's tenure down there. Now, the Knicks would have to do a lot of juggling with the salary cap, but many people believe they do have the wherewithal to be able to make it work where they can clear up enough space and sign LeBron James to the New York Knicks. And some believe that his relationship with Fizdale can actually help him leave where he is now and instead of going to the Lakers or the Sixers, actually join the New York Knicks. Good call or bad call to say that Fizdale has that influence over LeBron and can bring him to New York. Meta?
Wow, I didn't think about that. And I think so. I think that would be a good move. I prefer to see LeBron stay at Ohio and stay home. But for LeBron to go support Fizdale, I think that would be a big move on LeBron's part because nobody's seen this coming from Fizdale. And 10 years ago, you would not have seen him being a head coach. You wasn't even thinking about him being a head coach. And he's not only a head coach, he's doing a great job. And I think LeBron going there would be really cool. And, you know, I would like to see it.
You played in New York. You know how crazy it is.
Yeah, I love
it. And you know how crazy James Dolan is.
James does his own thing. You know, he's running a huge organization.
I just, because Dolan's there, bad call. I don't see LeBron with Fizdale. Hey, don't be booing me. Who's Dolan?
Dolan
does own the forum. So
you're booing
right
James Dolan, Beto. That's what's happening.
All right, we're good there. And plus, he goes there. That's a rebuild, man.
It's a rebuild, and I don't think LeBron's got the time for the rebuild in that sense. I mean, the Lakers situation is a little bit different because they're closer, I believe.
Yeah, they are.
So Fizdale better have 8 rabbits under that hat to lure LeBron to come to New York because the organization in itself is so ugly and bad. Whereas you look at the Lakers and where they're going with Magic and Rob Pelinka, they're going in the right direction. So it'd be easier for me to believe that he would think about going to the Lakers. Even with the relationship with Fizdale, I don't see him going to New York. Bad call.
All right, guys, last one here. Good call or bad call for Goran Dragic to troll Ben Simmons on Twitter. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Now, Ben Simmons obviously had a horrible night, just 1 point. And he basically got after himself a little bit after the game, saying that he didn't play as well as he would have liked, obviously. And Goran Dragic, member of the Miami Heat, who the Philadelphia 76ers defeated in the first round, sent out a tweet after the game with ROI, Rookie of the Year, and the emoji of a spider. And a lot of people, in case you don't know, the spider is a nickname for Donovan Mitchell, Utah Jazz guard, who got into a bit of a spat with Ben Simmons earlier this season as to what is a rookie, who is a rookie, who should be Rookie of the Year or not. So Goran Dragic obviously trolling Ben Simmons, saying that Donovan Mitchell should have been the Rookie of the Year after the way Ben performed last night. Good call or bad call for Dragic to troll Ben Simmons on Twitter, especially considering that Simmons' team destroyed Miami just last week. I'll start with Meta.
I mean, I think it's a bad call because as a player, you know, you don't want to troll people. It's out of their control. Now, I do want to say this. There's a lot of guys in AAU or girls and parents holding their kids back. So none of these rookies are really rookies anyway. Yeah. Everybody you see as a great rookie, they're not even real rookies. You know, when Kobe came in at 17 years old, and that's where I will go back old school and kind of compare the old school to the young school. Everybody's holding their kids back.
Yep.
And so my son, for example, he got skipped. So he's playing against people that's being held back. So now he don't have no chance to, like, to be even a McDonald's All-American and all this other stuff. So,
you know, 19-year-old high school seniors.
These kids are not rookies anyway, you know. And so they got a whole nother problem to fix. It's not even fair to the kids. So, I mean, it's a whole separate issue, but it kind of falls into place.
Yo, Meta, you're real professional. You're always classy with it.
Bad call.
I'm petty. I love the trolling. Because you know what? And my amigo Goran Dragic, because, you know, he speaks Spanish.
They gave you a lot of cheers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I pay Kevin figures. Dragic's playing in Spain, so he did interviews with me in Espanol back when the Lakers had a Spanish channel. So that's my homie. And look, if you're going to That's what the era we're in right now. Go and be petty. Go be trolling. Go do this. Why not? Go for it. I know, but Ronnie's already shaking his head like, no, act like you've been there before, huh?
That's a coward, man. You gotta troll somebody on social media. That's how people do it nowadays.
That's what
they
do.
Look somebody in the eye. If you want to talk to somebody, look them in the eyes. Go face to face with them if you want to troll somebody. Don't do it on social media, especially if you just got beat by that guy that you're trying to troll.
Rodney's pointing at people.
They just put you out of the playoffs.
Rodney's on fire right now.
They just put you out of the playoffs. Now you're going to troll the cat? That's absolutely ridiculous. Bad, bad call.
You know what? Rodney's so fired up, I'm going to change it too, man. I'm scared of you right now. Man.
And that is a good call back, all gentlemen.
Thanks, K-Fig. That was great, man.
Best job ever.
Our friend Eric Dickerson has a big event coming up in 2 days, the 5th annual Eric Dickerson Hall of Fame Golf Invitational benefiting the Young Warriors is this Sunday and Monday at the La Quinta Spa and Resort in the desert. Sports stars Barry Sanders, Marcus Allen, Ronnie Lott, James Worthy, Lawrence Taylor, Terrell Davis, Jim Brown will be there. Only a few spots left, so make sure to go to www.youngwarriors.org for more info. You know what? It's been a great show, but I want more stories from Meta and his book. Up next, we'll give you more details from Meta's book, which will be out May 15th. It's called No Malice. We are live from the Hollywood Park Casino. This is Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports.
Wow. Are you serious?
Wow. Wow. That's the love. That's the love. That's the chemistry, man. You got to have chemistry to make things work. Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. My man Beto Duran is joining me with our special guest, Meta World Peace, right here live from the Hollywood Park Casino in the Rays Lounge. All right.
So good to be here.
We're coming at the end, man. You got the book coming out May 15th.
Yeah.
I want to get into this, man, because I want to hear your part of it and your side of it.
Turn
I know
the music off.
Getting into my flow, brother.
You said turn it
see how
up,
they
right?
raised it up when you said that?
Yeah, they figured playing that.
Look, book is called No Malice. But it's about the malice in the palace.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Malice in the palace, man. Look, you know, there were a lot of things happening that day, that night, that game, all that stuff. And a lot of folks did some crazy things, but you became the face of that. You became the face of that. I mean, first of all, how did that happen? What's your thoughts on, you know, the repercussions of that, and then you being the one singled out as that guy and the face of that incident in Detroit?
Well, you know, good question. It was a funny situation about that. So I was going through a lot already in my career. And that game, when I went up in the stands and I was laying on that chorus table, I was trying to chill out. And when I got hit with that cup of beer, I looked in a direction and I seen the guy raise his hand like, oh, wow, it hit him. So when I went there and I wanted to go tell that guy, yo, don't you be throwing stuff at me. You know, he actually made a bet, $50, that he could hit me with the cup. So the guy who actually hit me when I was running in the stands, he kind of turned his back like, oh, he's really coming, you know, and acting like he didn't do nothing. And the guy who raised his hand actually lost the bet. So he was like, oh, I owe you $50. But then by that time, he's like, oh, I owe. And then he saw me coming. You see his whole facial expression changed. So that whole situation was caused by a $50 bet.
Seriously?
And I lost, like, I lost that whole season. I lost, literally the next day, I lost all my endorsements. They pulled off my TNT commercials. That's when I was an all-star, you know?
Yeah.
They pulled off my ESPN commercials, had a Carl's Jr.'s commercial, literally. And then in the future, you know, Max and Al and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So it really caused a lot of, you know, kind of, it really hurt me a lot in my career, my Hall of Fame kind of career. But I was also getting in a lot of trouble. So there was a couple things, you know, in the book that I talk about, you know, but I'm happy where I'm at today, you know, being able to finish my career as a Laker.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I don't know anybody, and I speak not just from a former athlete or anybody, because I've dealt with things. Look, I came out of a tunnel in Philadelphia, and a coach got hit with a full beer can in the back of the head as he was walking out of the stadium. And, you know, I don't know anybody that could restrain themselves from reacting in that way when something comes from the stands like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But the repercussions, like you said, that happened to you when you became like that face, because other players got involved. I mean, there was other players on that team, Steven Jackson and Jim Ann O'Neill's and all those guys.
Everybody.
I mean, everybody got involved.
Well, the problem was, like, when they edited it, they always showed me getting up.
Yes.
And if they could have, they would have took that bear out the shot when it actually hit me. It would just show me running for no reason. So they always showed the splash and then me running, but you never really see the guy who threw it.
Right.
And when we were in court for this situation, criminal court, you know, we saw all the camera angles, and we saw like 20 different angles, so you see the guys throwing it.
Right.
But they never showed that. You know, they never showed that on TV, so it looks like I just went in the stands and ran like water, like a waterfall splashed on me, and I go running into a stands for like a madman. You know, that's not what happened, and that's how you see it on TV. TV's powerful.
Yeah, I'm looking through the book right now. You start off with Queensbridge, Chicago, Indiana, Sacramento. It's broken down in chapters of where you played and what you went through. At the end, the last chapter, positivity, not negativity.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy. Like, you know, I obviously my career took a turn, but it's not, you know, it's not an end-all thing. Yeah, I'm happy where I'm at, and things is good. And,
man,
you know,
like I told you, brother, we've got to know each other a little bit over the last few years.
Yeah, I've seen you a couple times. Absolutely.
I appreciate you and respect you so much, and thanks so much for coming on today and sharing everything you share. My man, Beto.
Thanks for having me.
Beto, thanks for sitting in
for
playing.
Absolutely, thank you,
man. Hey, you can see Beto tomorrow at Poncho's in Manhattan Beach.
Tonight.
He'll be out there with Vic.
Robert Garcia.
Tonight. Vic the Brick and Vinny Bonsignore for a special Cinco de Mayo broadcast. Go out to Poncho's and see the show. Thank you to the good people here at Hollywood Park Casino for having us. It's always a great time.
Yes.
We'll be back here on May 17th. Thank you to our on-site engineer, Craig, and the AM 570 Sports Street team for getting us set up and on the air. And thanks to our executive producer, my man, Jason Stewart, and our technical producer, Kevin Figures, back in the studio. Enjoy Petros and Money next. They will take you up to Dodgers baseball from Monterrey,
Mexico!
AM 570 LA Sports.